Blog Talk Radio.
Praise team, join your lights. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. Praise team, join your lights. Praise team, join your lights. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship.
How many know he's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this. We're thankful and grateful once again for all that God has done for us and what he's still doing in our lives. We're thankful for you here tonight, those on our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast. We thank God for you and those tuning in via Facebook Live. We thank God for you. Let's go into our lesson tonight as we continue dealing with this me first mentality. God has just been blessing us through this lesson, and he's still doing what he said he's going to do. So we're grateful and thankful for that. But we're going to our second outline, as we dealt with in our first outline, the me first mentality. Now let's go to the others first principle. The others first principle, we'll talk about that, dealing with others now, as exemplified by Christ. We want to welcome you all tonight, tuning in via Facebook. We thank God for you for sharing with us on tonight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, which we'll pick up right there. Then we'll go back to Matthew. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Amen. Chapter number 8. Oh, I put my glasses somewhere. I need to put them on so I can see. All right, now I can see. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. As the others, first principle, as exemplified by Christ. We want to look at it and see how it was exemplified by Christ. Look at verse number 9, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. It says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that his poverty, so that by his poverty, he could make you rich. In other words, we see that there is no evidence that Jesus was any poorer than most of the first century Palestinians, right? But Jesus became more poor by giving up his rights as God and becoming human. He gave up some things and he put others first. Sometimes in our lives, we got to be able to put others first. Sometimes in our lives, and we as parents understand this, how we put others first. Because as parents, sometimes we put our children first. Come on, growing up in the old school, and old school used to, as stories were shared from my grandmother and mother, how they would make sure that the children had to eat first. Mm-hmm. They made sure that you had something to eat before they would eat. In other words, they put the child before them. You got to know how to put others first sometimes. Jesus put others first when he came and gave up his Godship to walk in the human flesh. Amen. He gave up something to come and be a part of this human race. For us. He did it for us. Amen. And that's why he's showing us that in this Christian life, in this Christian walk, sometimes you're going to have to give up some things and put others first. It can't always be about you first. Amen. You can't be, as they say, selfish. You know, because you do have some selfish people. He gave up his rights as God, becoming human. In his incarnation, God voluntarily became man. The person of Jesus of Nazareth. As a man, Jesus was subject to place, time, and other human limitations. You know, you're talking about somebody that gave up his Godship to become human. Come on. Someone that I'm talking about that have all power. They got so much. Now you've given up something to be limited by. Now I'm limited with some of the things that I can do. Amen. Gave up all the riches and glory to come down and live as a poor individual. How many people you know will give up some stuff and to come and live a poor life? Come on, how many millionaires you know? No, I ain't even got to go there. How many people you know that got something? That would give up, because we don't want to give up where we are right now and go to some of the poor parts of the world and live like they live. I wouldn't be living like that. That's what we say. Ain't nowhere in the world I'd be living like that. How could they live like that with no shoes, no clothes, walking around like that, don't have a decent roof over their head? No, I can't, but we complain about what we have right now. We're complaining about the simple things that we have right now. So I know we wouldn't give that up to go live a poor life. But that's what Jesus did. He gave up his riches and glory to come down and live as men live. He did not give up his eternal power when he became human, but he did set aside his glory and his rights. He still had power now. That's why he was healing the sick, raising the dead, unstopping deaf ears, opening blinded eyes, making the lame walk, miracles, turning water into wine, you know, feeding multitudes with two fish, five body loads of bread. He still had the power, but he gave up some rights. Okay, let me see. Okay, what kind of rights did he give up? You're saying since he still had power, if he was still doing that, healing the sick, raising the dead, unstopping deaf ears, and all of these miracles in which he was performing, how in the world did he have that power that you said he gave up his rights? I'm glad you asked. Because before he fed the multitude, he looked up towards heaven and he prayed. He prayed what? To the Father. Mm-hmm. So he lifted up the Father through prayer before he did anything. So he gave up his rights, but therefore he had to ask the Father. He petitioned his Father. Even though he still had power, he didn't have rights. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. 10,000. Yeah. He gave up his rights. Yeah, he gave up his rights. They was messing with him. You so much of a God, you so much of a Messiah, you can call down angels and they'll take you off the cross and destroy. You know, no, I gave up those rights for you. For me. Hmm? Even though he had the power to do it, he could have did it. But if he'd have did it, it would have been out of order. Because he gave up his rights. Hmm? That's why when he got ready to die, he gave up the ghost. And he gave his power. Watch this. He had the power of God. This is good. Watch this revelation. He had the power, but he gave it up. He already had given up his rights, but he still had power. But then he turns around while he's up on the cross. Now he gives up his power. But he just don't give it to anyone. That's why we, as a body of believers and leaders, just can't delegate our power to anyone. You can't leave anybody in charge and everybody in charge. You got to have somebody that you know that if I leave you in charge, you won't try to overuse your authority. Mm-hmm. You understand that, look, because I've been left in charge doesn't mean I'm in charge. So Jesus understood, even though I'm down here, I've given up my God-given rights. Mm-hmm. God still had allowed me to keep this power that I have to show this world that I am who I proclaim to be that I am. Mm-hmm. He let them know, look, I got power to do a whole lot of things, but I may not have the right to do it. Come on. Our president have power to do a whole lot of things. But he don't have the right to do some things. Some things that even though he's the president has to go through the house. Come on. Even though he has the power to write something, a sign, a bill, he doesn't give him the right to do certain things. Because God made things in order. So he gives up now, he gives up his power to the one he knows that will return it, that will hold it for him to still to show this dying world that you didn't give it to me and you can't take it away from me. Because guess what? In this world, we can give you power and we can take it away. It is what it is, huh? How so? Because we can vote you in and we can vote you out. We give you that power, and 4 years later, or 2 years later, we vote you right back out. And won't give it back to you. Jesus understood, I can't give this power to these people. Because they come asking about who's going to be, who you going to leave in charge. Yeah, who going to have this authority when you go? Who you going to put over this? This is not my area. This is only come from the Father. I have to do what the Father tells me to do. I have no authority. Even though I got power, I have no authority for this, who's going to sit in this seat. But he gives it now, his power to the Father. The Father now is holding his power to him because we know, heard the story, but we didn't hear know the story on the third day. He got up with all power in his hand. Because he knew his Father would give it back to him for him to complete his mission to show this world that you thought you took it from me. Yeah. You thought you took it from me when you put the nails on in my hands and nails in my feet and hung me up on the cross. You thought you took it from me. See, you thought it was over for me. Come on, but the third day, he got up. Now you're trying to figure out how in the world can this same man we crucified be up walking around now? And we knew he was dead. See, that's why some people count you out and think it's over for you. They leave you for dead. They think you're dead because they feel as though they've taken all your power away from you. But they don't realize and understand that, look, you didn't give me this power. You didn't give me this position. You didn't give me this job. You didn't give me this anointing. So because you didn't give it to me, you sure can't take it from me. I may not do everything right, but you still can't take this anointing from me. Come on, because if it was up to the world and you did something wrong, they would take everything from you. But because they didn't give you this anointing, the anointing that's over your life, they're upset when you find yourself in a situation where you've fallen. But then all of a sudden, you rise back up to the top. Now they're upset. Did not they go do this here? Wasn't they caught in the very act? Wasn't they caught doing this, caught doing that? But here it is. They still have this anointing. They have this power that they're still operating like nothing ever happened in their lives. How can you still be pastoring churches and got all these people and they done messed up 3 or 4 times? Is because you didn't give them that authority. You didn't give them that power. Let's see. He did not give up his eternal power when he became human, but he did set aside his glory and his rights. In response to the Father's will, he limited his power and knowledge. Watch now. in response to his father's will, because it was all about the will of the father. So he limited, even though he had power to do certain things. Huh? He had the power still. While he was here, he had the power, but he limited. That's why he healed some. Don't you know he could have healed everybody that he came in contact with? Because he had that power. He could have blessed everybody that he came in contact with because he had that power. He could have told everybody how they was going to turn out because he had that knowledge. As the woman was on the well, sitting on top of the well and talking with the well, he let her know who she was and what she was and all about herself because he was knowledgeable about her life. Don't you know he could have told everybody about themselves? Don't you know he could have went in the midst of and told Pilate about himself? When they was marching him from judgment hall to judgment hall, don't you know he could have stopped and said, okay, look here, I know what you did last night. He understood he had power and he had knowledge, but he limited some things. He could have told him, this is who's going with me. Such and such, this was going to happen. He could have told them everything about what was going to take place in his life on his way to the cross. He could have told everybody, told them everything, but he was limited. He limited his power and his knowledge because it was not about him, but it was about the will of his father. They couldn't handle it. He was knowledgeable. When he told them, you can destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I'll build it up again and coming up again. They didn't understand. What are you talking foolishness? That's foolish talk you're talking. What are you going to talk about? You're going to build up something in 3 days. He couldn't have, he limited his power and his knowledge. Even though he had it because it was about the will of the Father. And sometimes we got to understand, as Jesus is showing us in the text, look, it's not about me, even though I am who I am. It's still not about me. Even though I have this power that I have, it's still not about me. But it's still about someone that more powerful, that sits over me. Why? Because now I'm below him. I have given up my rights to become a lower than him. Even though he allowed me to still have this power that I have, I gave up some rights. So it's not about me. It's about him. Now in the beginning of this world, when God said, let us, we was all together. We was with one accord. It was all of us together. It was everybody together. We worked together with this thing. We had the same thing. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was operating under the same power, under the same authority. Because he put all of us in it together. But it wasn't just about one individual, one spirit. It was about all of us coming to making that one. But now, when things began to go wrong, and I told him, God, if you just prepare me a body, I'll go down and redeem man. And now what I did, I've given up some rights that I had. Now I'm below him now. I'm in this fleshly body. I became flesh now. Now, so I'm not sitting on his level right now, even though I'm his son, but I'm flesh, and my dad is not flesh, my dad is spirit, and I can't operate in the flesh around the spirits, because sometimes mind in my flesh. I may want to feel the way I want to feel. But my spirit man don't allow me to feel that way. Sometimes in the flesh I may want to say some of the things that I want to say, but my spirit man thinks so. I can't say it, because if you understand my path to the cross when I was in the Garden of Gethsemane and I prayed, I had to ask my Father to take this bitter cup away from me because of my flesh. I was in my flesh. But the spirit man had to take over. That's why I said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, because my flesh can't operate like my spirit man.
Amen.
You got to understand. He still had power, but he's given up some authority. He's given up his rights. He's given them up. He was limited in his power and knowledge. Christ became poor when he became human because he set aside so much. Don't you know he had everything? He set aside so much because he loved us. He had everything that he needed. No problems, no worries. No heartache, no pain. Didn't know what pain felt like. Didn't know what a tear looked like until he got in the flesh. Now, come on. Ness. To lay his head. Come on, he had everything, left everything, his riches and glory, left everything to come live a poor life. Come on, if I got everything, I don't need to ask somebody for anything. If I have everything, I don't need to ask for anything. But if I don't have everything, I got to ask somebody for something. Why you there? So now he left everything, didn't have to ask nobody for anything. Now he's a poor. Now he got to ask for something. Can I borrow your donkey? Can I borrow your tool? Because he didn't need a tool. Hey, I need your room. Can I borrow your room? Oh, come on. Can I borrow your boat? Huh? Oh, you don't want me to borrow your boat? Okay, I'll meet you on the other side. I just walk on the water. He still had some power. Good God. He still had some power. But here it comes, somebody that didn't have to ask anybody for anything, now needs to ask people for something. Because now I'm in the flesh. When you're in the flesh, you gotta ask people for some things. When you find yourself in need, you gotta ask people for some things. But when you're in the spirit realm, you don't need to ask for anything because you got everything. Because you tie in to the spirit and he supplies your needs. Huh? He'll supply your needs. All of them, according to his riches and glory. Oh, this is good. Watch. Watch now, because he became poor when he became human, because he set aside so much. Yet, by doing so, he made us rich, because we received salvation and eternal life. Because what he's given up made us rich, because we would have been able to have what we have now. Salvation and eternal life. It's been over for us. Huh? It's been over. So now we have this right for eternal life and salvation. That's why the writer pen depicts in John chapter number 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. Huh? If it were not so. So don't let your heart be troubled. Don't you trouble yourself. Because this is what I came down here for. Huh? This is one reason for you not to trouble yourself. So why are you going to trouble yourself when I came down in the flesh to live like you living now, to show you that there's a better way, a better place for you? And I'm going to prepare it for you. So don't trouble yourself. I became poor that you might be rich. Come on. How many people you know now, today, living today, that will become poor in order for you to be rich? Give up their riches. Come on. You ain't going to find too many people that have just come out and just give up their riches for you to be rich. Parents understood that way of living. I'm going to make sure you got decent clothes on. Not today. Come on. Children now come out looking like who did it, done it, and whatever. Parents come out looking like they going down the runway. Hair done, nail done, everything done. You fancy now? They be on point. The kids don't look that way now. Because what? It's all about how they look. I wouldn't come out the house and my kids look worse than what I look like. I wouldn't come out the house and my kids' hair look worse than mine. Here it is, you walk around looking like you just came out the salon. Your children come out looking like they just came out of Sandersboro bed. They've been playing in Sandersboro's. Come on, you got the nice relaxer. They're all knotted up and twisted up. Then you try to put it in the bob. Come on, we got to go. Get some little gel and put around the edges, and all that other stuff ain't right. That's what we do now, cause we don't put others before ourselves now. That's what I say. You got to tighten up. Tighten up on your backstroke. We got to tighten up. This age, this generation, we have to tighten up. You want to eat good, but your children don't eat good like you. Come on. I'm gonna go fix them something. No, we gonna go out to the restaurant and eat. Come on. What y'all want to eat? Let me go in there and fix y'all some noodles and some hot dogs. Cause me and Honey Bun, we going out to Longhorn. Grilled lobster. Bohemian. We going to get us some lobster. We going to get us some seafood. I'm talking about expenses. Our ticket gonna be $200 when we leave, cause we got some adult beverages. Come on, some adult frozen cups. I said that one of my partners on this. We do that, but our kids, we want to give them something quick and fast. But we want to go out. And then don't tip when you do go out. You want to go to fancy places, but don't want to leave a fancy tip. Come on. He made us rich by giving us salvation and eternal life. What made Jesus' humanity unique was his freedom from sin.
Yeah.
It made him so unique, his freedom from sin. Because in Jesus, we can see every attribute of God's character. In Jesus, we can see every attribute of God's character. Can we see the character of Jesus in one another? Can we see, the attributes of a character in us through Jesus? Can people see Jesus in you? You know, we sang the song, "The Jesus in Me." Love the Jesus in you. So easy. Easy to love. It's easy to say, but it ain't easy to do. Because that's what we say. But when it's time to show, is the Jesus in me, love the Jesus in you. And the attributes of a character is not showing in us. Because how in the world can the Jesus in me love the Jesus in you? And I'm lying on you. I'm trying to destroy you. I'm trying to pull you down. That's not the attributes of the character of Jesus in me. Because Jesus wouldn't try to tear you down. He wouldn't try to trap you. Come on. But he will help you, lift you, encourage you, forgive you, because you see the attributes. I can see it. I can see that you have the attributes of Christ, the character of Christ in you. Because your fruit that you bear, even though someone mistreated you, did you wrong, you still love them, you still help them, you still encourage them, you still give them. Because that's the Jesus in you. We can see it. Every attribute of God's character. The incarnation is explained further. When we look at a couple of verses, I won't go through all of that. But there's a whole lot more that we can see. Go to Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter 20. Yes, mama, rah-rah, how y'all doing? They on. I don't see Cheyenne. See, she's on. Matthew chapter number 20, verse 28. We welcome you all that's watching via Facebook. We also welcome you all that's on our Wondrous Word broadcast, our radio broadcast, and again to you that's here on campus tonight. We're dealing with the others. First principle. Go to 23, okay, we'll do that. We'll go to verse 23 from 23, yeah. We'll start at verse 23. Matthew chapter number 20. Okay, I'm in verse chapter 21, but I said 20, but I turned to 21. I'm going to read something because I see something there too. I seen something there too, but let's go to where we are, verse Matthew 20. Start with verse 20, okay. Start with verse 20, Matthew 20. All right. And then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her son. She knelt respectfully and asked a favor. Dear Jesus, what is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in place of honor next to you. One on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you do not know what you're even asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Come on, you asking me to let your sons sit next to me, one on my right, one on my left. But are you willing to go through? Are you willing to go through? Are they willing to go through what I'm about to go through? The suffering? You want them to sit there, but it's going to cost you something. You want to be like Jesus. You want to have the authority. You want to have the power that he has. It's going to cost you something. Are you willing to go through the suffering? This bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink from? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. How many times you heard that? Come on. Are you sure you want to go through this? Are you sure you want to be a part of this? You sure you want to be a leader? Oh, yes. Are you sure? Are you ready to go through people talking about you? Lying on you? Backstabbing you? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for folk to turn away from you? Turn on you? Love you 1 minute and ready to crucify you the next minute? Are you sure you're ready for this? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are able. You're able, but are you willing? You're able, but are you willing? Are you really sure? Well, mama say, are you really sure about this now? That's why we ask people when they get ready to go in leadership positions, as we say, when people come down and say, look, the Lord called me into the ministry. I'm going. The Lord called me to preach. Okay, are you sure? Are you really sure that you're ready to proclaim this word? Are you really sure you're ready to go through what you're about to go through? Don't play now, because you really don't know. Because you see a preacher standing up there and things just start pouring out and everything be coming in place and it sound good until you hear it. And you see people jumping up, shouting and running, and you know, all this, you think that's what's about to happen for you. And then the first time you stand up and you look at something and you done memorized it and you done played it back in your mind, and oh, this is going to be my high point and everything, and the musician don't even show up. Because you don't understand, a lot of the jumping sometimes come from the prepping of the music. Music kind of preps somebody and prep them to jump. You know, some people need that music in order for them to say something. But here it is. Are you sure that you can stand up and hear and proclaim the word of God when there is no tune on the other side? And you can proclaim the word, and when you get to a high point, and you know it's a high point, can you express yourself like you know what you're saying? Can you present the word of God like you know what you're saying? Can you encourage somebody to lift up holy hands and bless the Lord at all times? Let the praises shall continue to be in your mouth. Can you stand up here when people look at you like you're not even saying a word, and they're looking at you with a stare on your face, and you can still stand up and
sure you're ready for this. Leadership costs.
Lady Wright say expensive. It's real expensive. It costs. Love and pain. Pastor Gallagher got me on that one. It's like joy and pain. He said, love and pain, like sunshine and rain. They're suffering in service. God, you said something there, Pastor Gallagher. They're suffering in service, in your service. Are you willing to go through the suffering for your service? Are you willing to go through the suffering for your service? In other words, when you feel like giving up, throwing in the towel, walking away, not turning back, just moving, are you willing to go through the suffering? Are you willing to go through the frustration? Are you willing to go through the hurt, the pain for your service? When it feels like you've been mistreated, been misused, and abused, are you willing to go through this suffering? When you pour your heart out and it seems as though the folk not even listening, not even getting it, not even doing it, are you willing to go through this suffering? Being misunderstood. Folk turning their back on you. That's why Jesus asked the disciples, look, are you leaving too? Are you willing to go through that? You say you want this, are you willing to go through it? Oh yeah. She said, look, we are able. Yeah. Jesus told them verse 23. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. you don't have some problems that you really need. You don't have some situations. You're going to have some trials, troubles, and tribulations. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. Because my Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. It is not up to me. Yeah, you talking about you ready? Don't worry about it. Because you don't go through. Let's see if you're ready. Come on. But I need to let you know something. It's not up to me. My Father has already prepared those places, for the ones he chose. Because you got to understand, everybody can't sit on God's cabinet. Everybody can't be in his circle. Everybody can't be space. Everybody, you can't have everybody around you. Everybody can't sit at your table. I'm still learning that. I'm still learning that. You know, you want people. You want to show kindness, but I'm learning some things, even in this life of Christendom, even now, in this life of pastoralship. Everybody can't sit at my table. I understand some things now, why bishops have certain tables, where certain places where folk is just bishops and those that are on that particular area that walk in that particular office. So everybody can't sit there with them.
God, God said, Jesus said, look, it's not up to me. God had already prepared those places. God already knows who he wants to sit at his table. And watch, when you've been chosen, it's an honor as well as a privilege that you've been chosen. That means you don't need to sit at the table acting like you know everything. Like you know more than God. Like you got all this power. Ooh, it's good, it's good, it's good. Huh? Amen. Y'all liking this one? When, watch this, verse 24. Matthew 20, verse 24. When the other 10 disciples heard with James and John had asked, they were indignant. What you asking them that for? Messenger. Why y'all? Y'all trying to get in good. Oh, like y'all don't see us other teams sitting here. Where we don't sit. Y'all want to be close to him. Huh? Come on. Where we don't sit? I'm going to sit next to the bishop. I tell you, you got to come early. Why I can't never sit down there? Well, I want a position too. I want to sit there so I can put a bug in his ear. I want to try to tear somebody else down, so I can look good, so he can give me one of those positions. Okay, I'm gonna go in there and talk to the boss man and tell the boss man such and such came in late, you know, they down there talking about you, boss. So you wanna be an informant. I'm trying. Verse 25. Matthew 20:25. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. you know something. What he says, you know something. You got some people that rules in this world lord over their people. Oh, I'm in shock. I'm the one. I'm the man. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. You got to do what I tell you to do. You know, I'm over you. You under me. Yeah, you my indentured servant. When I say hop, you say jump. Yeah, you say how high. Come on. They flaunt their authority. You can't tell me what to do, but I can tell you what to do, or I can get you fired. But among you, it will be different. Look how he's working this thing. He's so smooth. Jesus is so smooth. He said, look, they do all this flaunting and they try to make it look like they're the ones that got so much authority and power and everything, you know, that you got to do. But amongst you, it's going to be different. Look, what I'm trying to tell y'all is not about who's sitting next to me. It's about you doing what you've been called to do. Using the authority and power that you have for this one cause. We're going to say it. It will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. You talking about who's going to serve my right? If you can't serve nobody, you can't act as a servant or be a servant, you don't need to worry about no right or left. Come on. There's no need for you to worry about a right or left if you can't be a servant to somebody. Because how are you going to know how to be served if you've never been a servant? You got to know how to be a servant, what servants do. So now, if you're a servant, look at, catch it. If you are a servant, this is what Jesus is saying. First of all, you got to know how to be a servant. Catch the revelation. Don't miss it. In order for you to be a leader, and you've never been a servant, you can't be a leader without being a servant. Why? Because if you are a servant first, you understand servanthood. Now, because of that, when you become a leader, you don't treat your servants wrong because you didn't like how it was when you were a servant. You understand now, I was mistreated when I was a servant. I had to do this. I had to do that. Now that I become a leader, if I didn't like it, why would I try to make them do the things that I didn't like? That's why Jesus said it's going to be different among you. If you want to be a leader, first of all, you got to be a servant. Because there are some things that, as a servant, you're not going to like doing. You won't like it. But as a leader, because I know I didn't like it when I was a servant, I won't put my demands and my authority over those that's under me to do the stuff I didn't like. And now you have people that just want to be leaders just to make them do things they didn't like. Watch this. Verse 27. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. You want to be first? You got to become a slave. In other words, you got to know how to be yoked. You can't go where you want to go. Can't do what you want to do. Can't say what you want to say. You got to be a follower. Be able to take instructions. And watch this. As a slave, you do what you want to do when you don't like it. There's some things you're going to have to do that you don't like. Because slaves have to do the things they don't like. I don't like it, but I got you, sir. I'm going to go out there in them fields, sir. Yes, sir, master. I don't like it, but soon we'll be done. You know how to adapt to some things that you don't like doing. Yes, ma'am. Got to respect.
teach. Obey those that have rule over you. Slaves must obey. You want to be a leader, you got to be a slave. You want to be first, you got to know how to obey. Be a slave. Huh? Watch. Verse 28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Even though I got all this power, even though I got all of this authority, I can snap my finger, I can get whatever I want. That's not what it's about. I came to be a servant, not to be served. Come on. People get in positions, huh, and they don't know how to serve anymore. They just want to be served. And a lot of times people want positions just to be served. Deacons are servants. Serve the tables. But folk want them to want to be served. You don't want to do your job. You don't want to work. You want the title, but you don't want to work behind the title. Huh? Come on. Let me see. A lot of folks that want to be leaders don't have no type of leadership experiences. Don't try, because you never had to try to get a servant experience. You never tried to learn anything. You just seen what happens to those that's in leadership position. You just saw that, and now you want that. You don't understand how they got there. They didn't just pop up and be a leader. Come on. There are some people that, look, you didn't just, people just didn't pop up and become bishops, but some did. And we got a name for them too. But some folk came through the armor bearer and adjutant state, learning how to be a servant. I didn't just pop up and be a pastor. I went through a stage. Minister, ordained, pastor. Didn't just happen. The Lord called me to preach. The next day I was pastor. It didn't happen like that. Sir, they told us, God bless him, Pastor Roosevelt Robinson Jr., when he said, we need to be where we need to be, we were there. He was strict. He was hard on us. He didn't just put us up. We went through training. You say you wanted this. You're ready for this. Okay. How you say you're ready for something, but you don't want training? Amen. Yeah, I'm ready for this job, but I don't want to go through the training. You ain't ready. I'm ready to be married, but I ain't ready to go through the counseling stage. I ain't ready to go through what I need to do to prepare for what I need to do to become married. I'm ready to be an athlete, but you ain't ready to go out and practice and train. I'm ready to win a championship, but you ain't ready to go out and in the hot sun and do what needs to be done in order for you to get to the place to play in that championship game. Come on, I got mine on tonight. something to say. You ready to get the ring? Ready to get the ring? But you ain't ready to go through the blood, sweat, and tears to get this. This didn't come easy. All three of them didn't come easy. You want the degree, but I ain't gonna go to class. You gotta do the work. Somebody, you gotta do the work. You want a good house, you want a nice house, clean house, but you don't want to wash the dishes, wash the floors, clean the toilets. And you have to be trainable. You have to be trainable and teachable in order to walk in the full position before you. There's some things you have to do. Yeah, they helping us on here. They helping us tonight. Come on. That what I'm saying, folks want to be in a relationship, want a man, want a woman, but don't want to fix themselves up. Don't want to be presentable. Don't want to stop living the life that you're living. You want to settle down, but you don't want to stop boring. Okay. Let's see what this thing. Amen. You got to be willing and ready to suffer. Are you willing? Are you willing to go through the ups and downs in a relationship that you want? So are you willing? Are you ready? They're going to come. But Jesus said, don't worry about that. You're going to have some. Now you say you're ready? No, don't worry about it. Let's see how ready you are when it gets there. And we can tell if you're ready or not. When trouble comes, you run from it, throw in the towel, instead of standing there, taking it, and looking at it and saying, I'm finna conquer this thing. It won't conquer me, but I'm going to conquer it. I will not let it get the best of me. We're going to find out if you're ready for what you say you're ready for. You ready to be a leader? Can you handle criticism? Corrective criticism. Can you have construction? Can you handle that? Discipline. Can you put it out? You say you want to be a leader. Can you be a disciplinarian without being afraid of what people say they're going to do? Can you stand firm on what you put out? So you can't be no punk. Unstable. Can't be favorable with people. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. What you say? Don't put that one on there. You just gotta stand right there and take it. Are you ready? Okay, here they weren't even in our leaders' meeting today. Are you ready for the warfare attached to what you are seeking? They wasn't even in our leaders' meeting today, but look, are you ready? for this warfare attached to what you are seeking. That's all I can say too, Mama, my Lord. That's how God is. See, when things are in the atmosphere, folk don't have to be right where you are. But it's in the atmosphere. And God will confirm what we put in the atmosphere. Because that's how good he is. That's who he is. Let's see, I think I was finished on that. But no, I wanted to, I saw something in Matthew 21. Let's go there quickly. I saw something in Matthew 21 that arrested my attention around verse 23. Matthew 21, verse 23, when they start talking about authority. And are you willing? Are you ready for this? What you asking for? Are you ready for this? Because guess what's going to happen? Your authority is going to be challenged. Are you ready for people to challenge your authority? Are you ready for this? Watch, when Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching, the leading priests and elders came up to him. They demanded, by what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right? Look at the church folk. Come on, people that's in position. That people been looking up to. They've been the ones dishing out the rules and the regulations. Look who's saying the leading priests and elders. People been looking up to them. All you got to do is come to me. I can heal you. I can do this here for you. You know, I tell you your future. I prophesy over your life things of this nature here. But here they come demanding. They demanded by what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right? Who gave you the right to come up in here and start disturbing what we put together? Who gave you that authority? Just because we done came under you. Who gave you that authority? Since you asked. Let me tell you who gave me the authority. Since you asked that question, I tell you by what authority I do these things. If you answer one question, just answer one thing for me, and I'll tell you. Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Come on. Did his authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Look at them. Now they're confused because they don't even understand what's going on or what he's talking about. They don't, because when you talk to folks that think they know everything and don't know everything, and you just ask them something simple, look, they can't answer anything simple. Watch what he says. They talked it over among themselves. If we say it was from heaven, he will ask us why we didn't believe in John. look at him. You got some smart folk some scientists trying to put some things together, some theologians trying to dissect this thing. Now look, we tried to pull one over on him, but here it is. Now he done turned the table on us. Now we say
it came from heaven, he'll ask us why we didn't believe John. But if we say it was merely human, we'll be mobbed because people believe John was a prophet. Let's see how smart you really are. Come on, because now, for understanding, that now I'm gonna put you in the hands of the people, and see that there's two different things. Now, are you gonna believe the spirit, or are you gonna believe that what they believe that John was a prophet? You ain't gonna believe it. So now they're gonna look at you, and they're gonna wanna stone you. They understood. Now we look. He trying to set us up. Isn't that the same thing you trying to do? Aren't you trying to set him up? But you trying to finagle your way out of this? So they finally reply, "We don't know." Trying to be safe. Now, but you're so smart. You know everything. You know all of this. But we don't know. And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things." You think that you're smarter than God. But we'll never be smarter than he is. Look, Jesus said, "Look, I'm going to tell you who gave me this authority. You just answer something for me. You don't want to answer it because you don't know how to answer. So now you want to play it safe. We don't know. So I'm going to play it safe too. I ain't got to tell you nothing." Since you don't know, I don't need to tell you about who authority, or who has given me this authority. In other words, Jesus said, "Now you go figure that out. Since you don't know, you figure out who gave me the authority."